Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, the resurrected Christ. Amen. We read again the first few words of the epistle, or the Old Testament reading, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Dear brothers and sisters, in these opening words of the Old Testament reading, we see the results of God's rescue of Israel. The previous chapter, the one that we remember so much from Sunday school, had the children of Israel cowering on the banks of the Red Sea, Egyptians behind them, water in front of them, and their spirits sunk low. How quickly they had forgotten the way God had gotten them out of Egypt to begin with. How quickly they had forgotten the death of the firstborn of Egypt and the lives that remained among their firstborn because of the blood of the Passover. How quickly they were forgetting that God had already worked a series of miracles to even get them out of Egypt. And yet, they were afraid of just a little bit of water. But the deep water is symbolic in our human spirits of the grave. And it was a physical, literal grave they thought awaited them. There were the depths in front. There were the swords behind. And there was nothing they could do. Which is exactly the way God wanted it. Nothing that they could do meant that God could do things to take full credit. And so he did. Moses didn't stay up all night, blowing his breath to dry out and clear out a path for Israel to cross. The Lord did. Moses didn't stand behind them with his staff raised up to keep the Egyptians at bay. No, the Lord moved himself in the form of the cloudy, fiery pillar to separate his chosen people from their persecutors. Israel didn't even put together a proper prayer, most of them. They whined, they complained, they screamed, they panicked. They did all of the things that unbelievers would do. Yet also the things that many of us believers will do. Because even those with faith, many of them were weak and weary. Even those who believed the signs that the Lord had given them, when faced with the absolute reality of death, began to doubt. And so do we. That in the Lord we have strength in order to carry forth where he will lead us. Most of the time the strength that we need is not the strength to press on, but the strength to stand firm. Not to panic, not to drift, not to waver, but merely to be the person God has called us to be. We don't need to go out looking for circumstances which will challenge us. They come right to us in the course of our everyday lives. Death, injury, sickness, all of those when least expected. And we, on our own, could do no better against them than we could against the temptations of Satan. But the Lord has given us bodies that heal. He has given us medicine which brings strength to us so that we can fight off various infections, so that we can hold back pain, so our recoveries could be better and more complete. And so also the Lord gives us strength to carry on. Strength of the soul through his word and through the supper of his son. Moses and the people of Israel sang together and told God what God had just done. And that's the best praise we can have for God, is to tell God what he has done. Not to imagine God as we want him to be, but to clearly confess who he is. The one who saved us from sin, death, and devil. The one whose son died on the cross and who rose on the third day. The one who loved the unlovable. Who gives life to the dead. Who gives strength to the weak. Who gives healing to the broken. Surely if we would have been there at the banks of the Red Sea, we would have been singing along with Moses, with the children of Israel, because we'd just seen it. He's triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider, he is thrown into the sea. They can look back across that surface and still fresh in their minds and in their memories with the image of those piled up waves crashing down, overwhelming the chariots and the horses and the chosen soldiers of the Pharaoh, drowning them forever beneath the depths. That's worth singing, isn't it? That's worth speaking. That's worth telling your children and your grandchildren. Boy, you should have been there when that happened. Hardly believe it. Thought I was dead, and the next thing I knew, the Lord had opened up a path to the sea and brought us through to the other side, and when the Egyptians followed, bam! He got them. In fact, that's what Israel did do. Because God commanded that the Passover be kept as an ongoing feast. And the Passover was more than just the angel of death passing over the children of Israel on his way to slaughtering the children of Egypt. But the Passover included the Israelites passing over the Red Sea on dry land. It wasn't just one isolated thing. It was the whole series of events that got them out of Egypt and on their way to the Promised Land. And that's why Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, used the eating and drinking of the Passover to usher in a new meal as a testament to the new Passover that he was establishing. Not a Passover which was for Israel only and their rescue from their pagan, heathen, Gentile oppressors, but the Passover for all who believe in Jesus. That death will pass over us and we will pass over the rift between us and God and end up with Him forever and ever. We participated in the death of Christ. Because our sins, our guilt, our shame were put to death with him on the cross. And we were joined to him in baptism, and we are kept there by the Spirit and the Word of God, sustained and strengthened by the heavenly food that comes down to us in the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we'd been there, we would have been singing just as loudly, just as purely, just as happily. We'd be glad to take one day a year and tell our children what a wonderful time it was. But we need this Passover, this strength, this celebration, this song in our everyday lives because we can't go more than a few hours at a time without sin, let alone a year at a time. We need to be reminded not just once in a while, but constantly, just what a horrible state of affairs we are in were it not for Jesus. The children of Israel had their panic undone. No rescue is better and more sweet than the rescue when death is imminent. That's perhaps why grown-ups cherish healing more than young people do. Because we realize just how close to death that really was. But a child is just somebody who's sick, and now somebody's not sick. But to us, who might have faced cancer, who might have been in a severe accident, who might have been beside a family member who was suffering under the affliction that suddenly began to heal, the joy is so much more than is the joy of everyday good health. Of never having had a problem. Of course, if we had our way, we would certainly choose not to have any problems. To always have good health. To never need healing because we would never be hurt. But that's not the world where we live, is it? And so every day needs to be a Passover celebration. The Lord needs to remind us constantly that He is still our strength and our song. He is the only one who will get us from point A to point B, whether it be in this day, in this life, or especially in the trip to eternal life. And when we realize and receive Him as our strength, He automatically becomes our song. Because if we fully realize the rescue that Christ obtained for us, then how could we not sing? How could we not shout? How could we not celebrate? How about you? How could you not sing, not shout, not celebrate the salvation that is yours? Well, there's a lot of things on our mind. The worries of the day, the worries of the coming days, they stack up. The hurts that people have put on us and our desire at times to get back. Doubt and dread. It adds up. It saps our strength. It takes away the voice of our song. It leaves us milling around in a confused and puzzled fashion until God comes and rouses us. Says, don't look back, because there's nothing back there that you can change. And don't look way off into the future, because you can't see what's coming. But look right now at the rescue that I am providing you. There is one path out of the trouble that you have, and that path is Jesus. Whether the trouble is one of just a few short passing hours or days, or whether it's the trouble of life drawing to a close, it makes no difference. The same Lord is our strength, our song, and our salvation in any of those circumstances. If we could see hell, eternal death in front of us, like the Red Sea and the Egyptians, and if we could see God's wrath behind us, ready to push us in there and get rid of us forever and ever, maybe then our celebrations would be as enthusiastic as that of Israel. But we can't see those things except using our minds and our imaginations. We have never experienced the fullness of hell, so we can't fear it in the same way that we could fear a sea standing in front of us and us unable to swim the miles that it took to get to the other side. We cannot see God's eyes blazing in anger, flames shooting out, the roar of hatred of every sin that ever was. So we cannot see Him standing ready to push us over the edge and to get rid of us forever and ever. But into all of that steps Jesus. Rather than lifting up a wooden staff and pointing the way across the sea, Jesus allowed Himself to be lifted up on the wood to point our way to our Father in heaven. He parted the waters of the sea that divide God and man. He blazed the trail from sinful, dying humanity to the sinless, immortal God. And He invites us then to follow where He leads. If we could see just how angry God was and still is at sin, then would we sing? If we could see just what death and hell really is, that it's not just a couple of imaginary concepts, just some inconvenience where we'll then go on to an eternal sleep and not really care, would that not give more voice to our song? Because God is our strength, because He is our song, and because He is our salvation, we can look outside of ourselves. We can have hope. Will we take hold of it? Will we seize it? Will we live it? Easter is not just one day. Even in the church calendar, it's celebrated for a full week of weeks. The church said there is nothing more important than the death and resurrection of Jesus, and so they give it 7 times 7 days to let the celebration really sink in. And furthermore, we have every Sunday as a constant reminder of Easter and the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Amen. Because we don't just confess that because we've always done it that way, but we confess it because it's the truth. And not just the truth for the church, but the truth for you and for me, for now and for always. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead so that we will not die eternally in hell. He is the strength that allows us to resist Satan's temptations. He is the song that we sing to glorify God, because there's nothing God wants to hear more than all of us telling Him what a wonderful son He gave us. What a beautiful, perfect rescue it was. How exciting, how glorious that even in the blood and the gore and the stench of death, God was buying life for every one of us. And, of course, our salvation. Because this same Jesus who suffered and died and rose again, this same Jesus who the Father called back into His presence, will come back. He did not just save us from our sins so that we could float around formlessly and bodilessly in some vague heaven forever. But He will raise us flesh and blood, solid and meaty and perfect. He will give us new strength, new life, perhaps new tasks and jobs, all of ones that we will enjoy and in which we will flourish. And we will praise God still by what we say, what we think, and what we do forever and ever. Isn't that worth a song or two? A bit more celebration? The floods will not sweep you away. The waves will not crash down on you. You have already passed through the waters. You have been drowned and died. Or is the Bible lying to you when it tells you that's exactly what your baptism was? And you are alive, participating in the new life of Jesus Christ, on your way to eternal life with Him who will never die again. Our enemy thought he had won. Moses put words into the Pharaoh's mouth when he was saying, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. That's Satan's plans for you and me. But he bit off more than he can chew when he sunk his teeth into Jesus. He brought our Lord down, but only because our Lord wanted to be struck down. He brought death to Jesus because Jesus wanted to die so that He could give us life. And in His death, He destroyed death. And in His resurrection, He destroyed any hold and any power that Satan and hell can have on us. And with Moses, with all of the saints throughout all time, we still have to ask, who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? And of course, we still hear God saying, why, no one, of course. Thanks for noticing. Thanks for remembering exactly what Jesus is to you, your Savior, your Lord, your friend, your brother. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to pay a little bit of attention to the guy who made you, who redeemed you, who made you His own and wants to keep you His own forever. And sometimes He may say it to us a little sarcastically, but there are times when it's His honest truth. He realizes how weak and insufficient our praises are, but He accepts even them as a token of the perfect praises that are yet to come. God grant that we not dread any of the fears that rise up before us. There is no sea that you cannot cross. And God grant that we not look back at what might be chasing us, because there is no enemy who is going to destroy us. There is God, there is His Son, Jesus Christ, and then there are us, His holy people, gathered from all the nations on a pilgrimage to our eternal home. May all your troubles sink into the depths and be banished forever. May your joy be lifted up and increased into life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.